Well, today I want to I want to cover something that I think is very important. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Wednesday night, actually. I'm going to give you a summary of what we did Wednesday night, because I think it's important for the whole church. So those who came to celebrate recovery, God bless you. You're gonna hear some of the same stuff, not all of the same stuff, but certainly it fits. And I'm also going to offer something at the end to help us on a daily basis, same as I did Wednesday night. And so I have one person on Wednesday nights, you know, coming to that attends Celebrate Recovery very regularly, and he's continually saying, you know what, everybody in the church should take part in this program. And I believe it. I really do. Because it's just so powerful when you really focus on you, when you deal with the issues that you have to deal with. And it's just so much freeing when you get to the place in your life where your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups are no longer hurts and no longer habits and no longer hang-ups, right? And so I want to just talk about this today and I want to offer this church the same thing that I offered Wednesday night, so that we can consciously, purposely take steps on a daily basis to work through each and every day. And so Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load." Father, I thank you for your word today, and I just pray that you'll speak to my heart, you speak to our hearts, Lord, and you help us to hear what it is the Spirit has to say to us, and Lord, direct our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, "Brethren, if anyone's overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness." But then it says, "Considering who?" Considering yourself. "Lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens." What's that mean? Bear one another's burdens. When you bear something, what's that mean? You carry it. You bear it. You endure it. You know, how many know another believer who's struggling? We all do. We know people that are struggling. Bear one another's burdens. But consider yourself. You see, this is very important, that we realize what it says there in verse 4. "Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone." And so who are we supposed to be rejoicing in? Well, yeah, Jesus. But where is the rejoicing going to take place? In ourselves, right? You rejoice for the work that God is doing in you. Now, this starts out talking about if a man is overtaken with any trespass, talking about the other person, but then it turns and it focuses on you. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, starting verse 37. That's not the verse. Why does it say Luke chapter 7? I have definitely got to talk to my editor. I got to think now because I didn't write it down. Well, let me look at what Luke says. Wow, that was such a good portion of Scripture, too. It goes right along with carrying your own load. You know what? Let me go back to Galatians for a minute. Maybe that'll help me. Wherever the portion of Scripture is, it's verses 37 through 42. There's a lot of those, isn't there? Okay, I was hoping there'd be a note there, but that's okay. it'll come to me eventually. Let's look at what we went over Wednesday night. Because again, this is important, and forgive me for that missed scripture there. I don't know how I did that, but it goes right along with this. Is step number 10 in the Celebrate Recovery program. This is step number 10 in all recovery programs. Okay, and it says this. It says we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. And so, if you think 1 Corinthians 10, 12, if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. And this principle is one that it goes along with what God is talking about there in Galatians and what God is talking about also in verses 37 through 42 in whichever book that was. I think I have that later, actually. And Luke? Oh, you know what? Maybe it was... It was chapter 6. Let's back up a chapter. Thank you, brother. Let's back up a chapter. Let's look at chapter 6 of Luke. You know why I wrote 7? Because on that page in my Bible, chapter 7 starts. That's why I wrote 7. It's right there. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable. Can a blind man lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? And then he says, hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and you shall see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Now, go back up to judge not, and you shall not be judged. How many of us have heard people from the world say, "Well, you can't judge me. The Bible says judge not." We've all heard that, right? And you know, we take that to mean that whatever anybody's gone, we got to be okay with. Whatever anybody's done, we can't say anything to them about it. And you know what? A lot of times that's kind of true. If you don't want people to point out the stuff in your life, then you shouldn't be pointing out the stuff in theirs. But again, it's focusing on you, not them. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Right? Now, it talks about giving, it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over. How many like that verse? I like that verse a lot. It depends on what you're given. If you're given judgment, if you're given condemnation, how many know you reap what you sow? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Oh, wait a minute. I better deal with what's in me before I deal with what's in somebody else. Oh, hi, ladies. Is it? I thought you came up with that. Oh. Meredith isn't here, so we can definitely point her out, call her out. Don't talk behind me. Don't judge me. The phrase is, if you spot it, you got it. In other words, if you see something wrong in somebody else's life, chances are you do the same exact thing. And that's why this step is so important, that we continue to take a personal inventory. A personal inventory. What's going on in me? How can the blind lead the blind? What's that mean? It means that, you know what, if you've got a plank in your eye and you're trying to lead somebody who's got a little speck in theirs, you're both going to fall in the ditch. And that's not good. Judgment here, it says, I have a note in my Bible, it says, judge not, condemn not, forgive. The idea here is not that one should ignore sin or refuse to discuss its consequences. Rather, one should be gracious and quick to forgive. That's what the note says there. Doesn't that sound like a Christian principle? That we should be quick to forgive, right? And so step 10, continue to take a personal inventory. You know what we like to do a lot of times? We like to take inventory of what everybody else is up to. We like to say, hey, you know what? So-and-so's got this going on. So-and-so's got that going on. And they're doing this and they're doing that. And it's like, wait a minute. Don't worry about so-and-so. God will deal with so-and-so. It's a personal inventory. Because the moment that we think we got it all together and we can see everybody else's faults, guess what? Watch out. Because you're about to fall. Now, for those who attend the program, the Celebrate Recovery, you've been through this several times. We should be to the place in our lives, and I'm gonna say this, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be to the place in our life, and this is a list that I showed the other night, where we have faced our denial, which is, in other words, the things that's really going inside of us, we face it. Whether it's a hurt, whether it's a habit, whether it's a hang-up, we're not in denial about it anymore. You know what? I have this issue in my life. We face our denial. And you know what? We as believers, we have to be strong enough in our walk with God to be able to do that. To be loving enough, believing enough in Christ that we can come to Him with everything. Whether it's a hurt, a habit, a hang-up. You know, whether you're, you know, if you're addicted to something, whether you're torn over something, whether you're broken for some reason, we need to be in a place in our lives where we're able to come before Christ and say, you know what, this is what's in my life and I need your help. We face our denial. We surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And how many know that surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, of course, that means somebody who's lost getting saved and coming to Christ, but it also means those of us who've been following the Lord for years and years and years, there's still times where we rise up on our own and we get off track and we need to surrender again to Jesus Christ. Where we take an honest look at our lives. Where are you today? What's going on today? And let me just say this. If you are not right today, if you are not full of joy, if you are not just ready to love someone else and to go out in the world and tell people about Jesus, and you don't have this sense of security and love and hope and just strength in your life, then guess what? There may be an issue in there that you need to deal with. You need to look at your life. An honest look. We need to be able to list and confess and share all of our wrongdoing. List, confess, and share. It's important. How many know that when you keep stuff to yourself, what happens? It bottles up on the inside, and you get worse and worse and worse in whatever your condition is. And no change happens because you're not willing to deal with what's going on. And so we need to list it. We need to take an honest look at it, list it, confess it, and share it. Share it with somebody else. You know why it's so important to share it with somebody else? And I'll share the verse with you. It's on the next page, I hope. Because once you get it out in the open, it's no longer a secret, and it can no longer have power over you. You know why? Because now somebody knows. Once it's something freeing and healing about confessing and sharing with other people. And I'm not saying just blab it all over the world. Everybody doesn't know what's going on. But if you're married, you know what? Your spouse needs to know what's going on in your life. Or if you're a child, your parents need to know what's going on in your life. If you're a parent, your kids need to know what's going on in your life. It's important. If you got a good friend or somebody that you can trust, maybe there's something you don't want to tell your wife or your kids or something that, you know, find somebody you can talk to. It's important and it's powerful. It's life-changing. We need to be humble enough to allow God to make major changes. Is anybody here, you know, do you recognize that God wants to make major changes in your life? Amen. I don't think anybody here should be able to say, nah, I'm good. I don't think there's anything in me that needs to be changed. And I'm included in this. There are things I need to change, and I know it. But I'm willing to stand before God and say, God, okay, some of this is major, and it needs to change. And I need your help, God. Are we willing to allow God to make those changes? Become willing to forgive and make amends, which means to offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you and make amends for harm that you have done to others. You know, if you come to the realization, and I'm going to cover some more verses on that later, you come to the realization that you've hurt somebody, whether you intended to or not, it's good that you go and you make amends. And there's ways to do that, and I'm going to cover that in a few minutes. But offering forgiveness for those who have hurt you. You know what? I don't think there's any other character that a believer can live out that is more like Christ than when you forgive somebody, especially when they don't deserve it. That's a powerful character. And we as believers in Christ need to be able to live Christ-like. And now that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff right there. And you know what, myself included, I don't know if any of us here have this whole list conquered. But I think we need to be working towards it. I think this is something that we should be very conscious of in our lives. Not just one moment, not just, you know, well, maybe I'll deal with it next week, or maybe I'll deal with it next, you know, it's the new year, you know, New Year's come around, we decide, okay, I'm going to work on this part of my life, and then we just kind of put it on the shelf and we never actually do anything. You know, my wife and I, we decided lean and mean in 2016. Hallelujah. I lost 2 pounds in the first week, but guess what? After what I ate yesterday, that's out the window. There's always tomorrow. Yeah. And so all of these things, if there's any part of this list that you struggle with on a regular basis, then it's important that you learn how to do these things in order that you can live free and full of love and joy and be an effective witness for Christ. Do you understand that we as believers, if we are not living our lives with the joy and the strength and the love that God gives us, that we're not going to be very effective witnesses for Him? You see, we are going to have struggles and we are going to have things to deal with in relationship problems, loss problems. Today I gotta go speak at a family thing where there's, you know, we lost an uncle. Loss of property, I don't know, whatever. All kinds of stuff. But God wants us as believers to be an example of how to live through life in the stuff with joy and with strength and with purpose. Going forward, being able to lift up praise to Jesus Christ no matter what's going on. I believe that Geneva, the city that, and I keep talking about Geneva because I believe we've been called to Geneva, each and every one of us. We're not here by accident. I believe God has called us to Geneva to win Geneva. And if we're going to do that, they need to say, hey, you know what? Those people that believe in Jesus, wow, they got it going on. They got it together. They're able to handle it when they get a flat tire. They're able to when they smash their thumb or their finger, they don't say the stuff that we say. Why? What's up with that? How come they're so different? Well, we're different because we face our denial and we surrender to Christ daily, and we're honest about our lives, and we confess our wrongs, and we humble ourselves and let God make changes, and we forgive others, and when we find we hurt others, we make amends. That should be what's different about us. And so if you're struggling with any part of this list, there's a way to work on it. You know, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, how do you know the truth if you will not face it? Look at your life. Know the truth. What's going on inside of you? What is the truth? What is the truth with you? And I have to look at what is the truth with me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many know what it's like to feel clean, right? Doesn't it feel good to feel clean? When you're spiritually clean, wow. What a blessing. How do you get spiritually clean? You deal with your stuff. You confess. James 5:16, confess your faults to who? One to another. You know, in the program, you know, I've heard Pastor Rick Warren mention, you know, we confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to one another for healing. You see, there's two parts there. And that I agree with that. I get that. But the truth of it is that verse in 1 John 1:9, it says, confess our sins. It doesn't say who to confess them to. Does it? It says God will forgive you of your sins if you confess them. I believe we do need to confess our sins to God. But I also believe what that next verse there on the screen says, that we need to confess our sins to one another. Because until you're willing to confess your sin to somebody else, you're still hiding. And you're still carrying that. And you're not going to be free from that until you're willing to share it with somebody. This is powerful stuff. Now, there's a question that I ask when I go out to the jail, and many of you heard me say this, but I ask them, who here would be willing not to come back to the jail once you get out? And most of the hands will go up. And the reason for that is, the reason why I ask that question is because most of them are in and out, in and out, in and out. I don't know if you heard me say this, I've said it a few times, but there's one guy, last time I asked that question, one guy said, I've been here 23 times. And he's young. He's not even, I don't know if he's in his 30s yet. I can't wait for the day when I can take Lloyd and I can take Vince to the jail. Say, here, you talk to him. Because you've been there. And you can tell him what you've told me about how all this time wasted. Wasting your life in that jail. And I thank God that Lloyd and Vince are at places in their life where they're done with that. They're ready to live life. And they found that the only way to really do that is what I encourage those in the jail to do is by living for Jesus Christ, choosing to follow Him accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, and choosing to follow Him for the rest of your life. Not just for a week or a month until things get straightened out and then go back. No, for the rest of your life. And I tell them, that's what you need to do. If you don't want to come back here, that's what you need to do. That's what it takes. And so I can ask the same question to those who are not in jail, but you're held captive by your own hurts, habits, and hang-ups. How many of us are held captive by hurts, habits, and hang-ups? And then we get it dealt with for a week, a month, maybe a year, maybe a couple years, but next thing you know, we go back. Why do we do that? Just like I asked those guys in that jail, why do you do that? Why do you do the things that you know is going to bring you back here? So why do we as believers go through the same pattern over and over again? I've heard this many times. Until you pass the test, guess what? You're going to have to take it again. Until you really deal with your stuff, get honest with God and deal with your stuff, you're going to keep dealing with it. Because it's always going to be there. It's not going to change. Some of us have things that need to be changed in our mind, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Some of us have emotional things that need to be transformed by the Lord, need to be healed, need to be changed. But if we want to live the rest of our lives filled with joy and free and strong, then we continually need to do what it said back there, continued to take personal inventory. We need to continually pay attention to what we do on a daily basis. Taking a daily inventory of our own thoughts, feelings, and actions is very helpful in the process of loving God, loving our neighbors, and loving ourselves. Daily inventory. I want to share another portion of Scripture before I... and I hope it's right. Matthew chapter 5. And I think this particular portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. This particular portion of Scripture, I think, until we as believers really understand what it's saying to us, we just don't move forward. I think churches are damaged by this, by not understanding what this portion of Scripture says time and time again. I know there are not people here today. I know this. I know there are people that are not here today because of this portion of Scripture is not lived out properly. How many people are sitting at home, or how many people have given up on God, or just walked away from wonderful relationships because we don't do what the Word of God says to do? Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Now, underline that where it says without a cause, because I'm going to come back to that. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift, now, I find this fascinating. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I find that fascinating that God is more concerned about our relationships than He is our church attendance. You see what that says there? If you come to the altar and you realize, oh my gosh, you remember somebody had something against you, leave. You know what? And I'm glad nobody got up just now and went and left. But if that's what you need to do, if you realize, you know what, somebody's got something against me, I need to go make that right. I need to go apologize. I need to make amends, whatever the case may be. That is more important to God than your church attendance. Yes, He wants you in church. Go deal with that and then come back. But it says there, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, let's back up a little bit. What was the word I said to underline? Without a cause. Now, what's it say after that? It says, if somebody has an ought against you, right? You're to go. It doesn't say if you have an ought against somebody else. And you know why I believe it doesn't say that? I believe it doesn't say that because we as believers ought not to have an offense against somebody else. We as believers should be forgiving. Without a cause. You know why we as believers should be without a cause? Is because we should be acting as Jesus did. They spit in his face. They tore out his beard. They came against him with all kinds of stuff that wasn't true at all. If anybody should have been offended, Jesus should have been offended. But you know what he did? He didn't stand up and say anything to them or about them. He forgave them. And so we as believers, if you're offended with somebody, I think scripturally you need to just forgive them and move on. But if you realize that somebody is something against you, then you know what? Then you go and you do what you need to do to try to make amends and try to reconcile that relationship. Do you know how many churches have split? How many churches have fallen apart? How many seats are empty here today? Because somebody is not willing to forgive. And they are, if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe they're somebody who is angry with somebody without a cause. Because I don't believe that God's Word gives us believers any room to hold anger against anybody. Whoo, knock that tree right down. Chop it off at the base. Sorry, camel. What are we supposed to do with our enemies? Bless them. What are we supposed to do for those who persecute us? Pray for them, right? Nowhere are we to hold anger, because if we hold anger, we're committing murder. Nowhere are we supposed to do vengeance, because what's God's Word say? Vengeance is His, not ours. Okay? And so, going back to what we're talking about this morning, if we're not allowed to be angry with anybody, if we're not allowed to have an offense with anybody because we're believers in Jesus Christ, but we struggle with that, then guess what? It's you that God wants to work on, not the other person. And so, this ties in. This is what we were talking about Wednesday night. You got to deal with you. God will deal with that other person. And you know what? There are going to be people that are going to do stuff to you that don't even know it. And many of us go through a lot of frustration with people who have done something to us and they don't even know it. And you know what? If we would do what I believe God's Word says, we'll forgive them and it never needs to be brought up again. Now, if somebody's continually doing something, you just can't stop. You know what? It doesn't hurt to talk about it. But we need to forgive. And we need to do an inventory on us. You know, I've dealt with so many alcoholics and so many addicts that want to blame somebody else. Young man who told me that the reason why he does what he does is because his parents do what they do. Well, guess what? You don't have to do what you do because your parents do that. Let's talk about you. Your parents aren't here. I'm talking to you. Or so-and-so, you know what? I went to this party with my friend and I got introduced to drugs and because my friend was into it, I got into it and so it's really my friend's fault. No, it's not. It's your fault. Deal with you. We as Christians are supposed to be humble, forgiving, not angry, not vengeful. And that's why it's important for us to deal with our own stuff and forgive others of theirs. And so here's the deal. I would like each person to consider, everyone here, to start a journal. And I am not a journal person. I'm just confessing, I'm not a journal person. So I'm asking you to do something I don't even like to do. But to do a daily version, a daily journal of your life, not your neighbor's life. Not, you know, what do we start with? You know, verses that talked about, you know, if your neighbor has something going on. This isn't about your neighbor's life. This is about your life. We like to write stuff down about what our neighbor's doing. Oh, they did this and they did that and they got that going on. Okay, let's not worry about your neighbor. Let's worry about you. A daily journal of your life. And here are the questions that, and I've got a sheet here that I can make some copies of if you'd like. I can leave it. We'll just, on the corner of the stage, we'll make some copies. But here's some questions. Here's some questions that we can ask ourselves on a daily basis. And I gave this out Wednesday night as well. I think I added one. I did add one from Wednesday night. But these are the questions that were asked Wednesday night. What good did I do today? Did you do anything good? Write it down. You know, again, when we talk about inventory, doing a personal self-examination, personal inventory, I'm not all about just writing down all the bad stuff. It's important that you keep it balanced, because if all you do is write all the bad stuff down that's going on in your life, then you get depressed, you get down on yourself, and it just doesn't draw a very good picture of yourself. And so I encourage, what good thing did you do today? Write that down. Now, God forbid if none of us don't have anything good to write down. But you know what? If you're writing, if you know that tomorrow morning I've got to write down, or at the end of the day, I've got to write down something good that I did that might inspire you. Hey, what could I do today that would be good? You see, a daily thing, a daily journal. What good thing did I do today? And then after that, what areas did I blow it? Where did I screw up? Where did I make the mistakes? What happened in my life today that was just wrong? It shouldn't have been there. It shouldn't have been a part of my life. Whether it's something I said, something I did, something I thought. Where did I screw up today, God? Write it down. Because you know what? Tomorrow, you don't want to make that same mistake. Did I do or say anything that hurt anyone today? This is something that is, you know, a good thing to ask yourself. Because the truth of it, I've learned. I offend people a lot. My wife, I've told people, you know, I've said from the pulpit, guess what? As your pastor, I'm going to offend you. I've said this many times. My wife keeps rebuking me. Stop saying that. But here's the deal. I think differently than other people think. And you think differently than most other people think. It's not just me. You think different too. Yeah, and you recognize that. And we do things differently than other people. And guess what? We rub the wrong way against other people. And offenses happen. And so if you can think about your day and really consciously think about your day, think about the people you interacted with, the relationships that you had. If you realize, hey, you know what? I did something. I said something. Maybe somebody's offended. Maybe I should go talk to them and try to make amends. You know, it's a good thing to be aware of. Pay attention. Because, you know, if we would be conscious, if we did this on a daily basis, maybe we would be more conscious about the things we do and about the things we say, and maybe we wouldn't be quite so offensive as I think that I might be sometimes. Do I owe amends to somebody? Which means, do I need to forgive somebody? Or do I need to apologize to somebody? That's what making amends is all about. What did I learn from my actions today? I mean, that's a good thing to ask yourself on a daily basis. Okay, what did I learn from today? How many of times do we just go through our day, we get to the end of the day, and it just is what it is, and we forget all about it, we go about the next day, and we don't learn anything about it because we never process what actually took place during the day. That's a good thing to do. What did I learn from my actions today? Not from my neighbor's actions, but from my actions. And did anything in my life give glory to Jesus Christ today? And you know what? I believe that God wants us as believers to give glory to Him every single day. I think that our actions should cause other people to give Him glory. And so that's just a simple little list. A little journal each day. Just start paying attention to your own life. What's coming in? What's going out? And we could do this on a daily basis until we're free enough to do it on a weekly basis. And then maybe we could get to the place in our lives where it's such a habit that we're paying attention and we're doing a personal inventory. What's going on moment by moment that you don't even have to write it down anymore. You just, when you screw up, you know it. When you do something good, you know it. When you've hurt somebody, you do something about it. When you've been hurt, you forgive. You do what you have to do on a daily basis. Because what's the Bible say? Don't let the sun go down on what? On your anger. Well, how's that going to work? If the person at work today made you angry and now it's midnight, it's time for you to go to bed, are you supposed to call them up and reconcile? I don't think so. If the person at work made you angry and now it's midnight and you want to get to sleep, my recommendation would be forgive them and get over it and go to sleep. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. How does that work? Well, when we do what God's Word says to do and we forgive others their trespasses. Why? Because He has forgiven us our trespasses. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer says? Amen. I don't know if I have any more. Oh, I guess that's it. I have a copy of that, these questions, if you didn't write them down. We can make as many copies as you. Excuse me. Oh, it's on Facebook. Hallelujah. How many know that the church has a Facebook page? I hope that if you don't use Facebook and you'd like a copy of this, we can make copies of it. Yeah, would you go make some copies of that and just leave it out, please? Thank you. And by the way, Laura, thank you for those. It's probably on there already, isn't it? Yeah, see how she is? That's prompt. Part of healthy living, whether it be healthy physical living or healthy spiritual living. You know, physically, my wife and I were paying attention to calories and we're paying attention to carbohydrates and we're paying attention because we want to be physically healthy. We're paying attention to how much exercise we get in a day. Well, spiritually, we need to apply those same principles. We need to pay attention to the good things, pay attention to the bad things, the negatives, the positives, and do something about it. You know, if all we did was read the label and say, oh, this has so many calories and so many carbohydrates and so many this and so many that, if we just read the label but then just ate it all anyway, would it matter? No. We'd still be overweight. And so you have to do something with the information that you gather in order to make change in your life. And for me, my desire is that Geneva Assembly of God, every single person who walks through this door has a life that is full of joy, full of love, full of forgiveness for others, full of strength, and full of direction, and so full of God that when people see you on the street, they say, wow, praise God, look at that person is really over the top happy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, there's only one way we're going to get there. I can't fix you. You can't fix me. We can support one another, but the real work has to be done by you. And the real work for me has to be done by me. And so, amen. I just felt that, you know, when we did that Wednesday night, I thought, wow, you know, this is real stuff. If we want to get healthy as believers, then we need to do the stuff the Word tells us to do. And I just wanted to encourage you today to do that, but also give you something, put something in your hand. It's over there on the desk. Thank you, Pamela. It's over there on the desk. Put something in your hand that you can look at on a daily basis and say, hey, you know what? If I do something about my life and my walk with Christ, I can become healthy spiritually. Amen. Stand with me if you will. And again, forgive me because I've got to run out quick and move on to the next venture. And just love on my family. And we'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock to continue through our study on being an externally focused church. I hope that you all come. I've just been finding it just fascinating information, and it's been a blessing for me. But anyway, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you would help me to shine the light on me. Lord, that I wouldn't be so focused on what my neighbors are doing that I wouldn't even realize that I've got my own issues. And so, Father, help me in that area. Help me on a daily basis to do the right things and not the wrong things. Help me, God, to be healthy spiritually. Help me, Lord, to use words and actions that are glorifying to you. And so, God, today, whatever our struggles are on the inside, and in the list, as many people as that are here, Lord God, the list is that long. There's that many struggles. We all struggle with different things. Maybe some of them are similar, but the truth of it is we all do struggle. And so, Father, I pray that you will do a work in me, do a work in us. God, that we would be so spiritually healthy, that we would be salt and light to this world and glorifying to you. God, bless each one here this morning. Help us, heal us, and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love one another. Again, just because I got to run out doesn't mean the rest of you got to run out. Pamela, thank you for locking up for me. I'll see you tonight.